Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hello, and welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. Amanda Thebe here, and I am super excited to host this week's show, and you're just going to have me all by myself. The reason I've decided just to chirp in without a guest this week is because many of you have sent me questions, you've asked me information about my own background, and I thought that I'd spend this episode just telling you a little bit about myself and explaining where I've come from and what's brought me to this place right now. So to do that, we have to go back all the way to the northeast of England, where I was born in a small town called Billingham. Nobody really knows of it. It was an industrial town. Everybody seemed to know each other. And yeah, I really enjoyed my time growing up there, but it was a little bit boring. It was one of those places where if I didn't find an activity to do, the chances are I probably would have ended up doing drugs or being pregnant, unfortunately. And instead, I was one of these energetic kids, and my mum realized I needed to do something with that energy, so I started doing martial arts. And I did karate until the age of about 20-21. I'm a black belt in karate. But it was great because it meant that after school, after I'd done my homework, I just used to go and hang out with all of the guys and just train and exercise. And so I came from a very healthy, athletic background. I just liked feeling fit and I liked feeling strong. And I also liked working out with the boys. I think it's because I was a little bit of a tomboy myself. And moving forward from that, when I got my first job, I left school. I actually worked in a bank. I left the bank and went to work for a utility company. And then eventually I worked for IBM. I had a team. I was a project manager for IBM. So I went from having like a healthy childhood to doing a desk job. And that didn't really work for my type of energy level. So as an aside to that, as a secondary sort of career or passion, I qualified to become a personal trainer 20 years ago, in fact. Also group fitness instructor. You know, I've done everything from spinning to aerobics to step, you name it. But anyway, I've always had a passion and I never lost that passion because I just realized how influential health and wellness and fitness and exercise was on my health. Moving forward, I then moved to London, England, to be with my boyfriend at the time, and then we relocated to Boston. We relocated to Boston when he went to school, and from there, I then had my first child, my son Cameron. We then relocated to Toronto after graduation, where I had my second child. Now, I wasn't working for IBM anymore. I was doing a career based in graphic design. And I loved that career. I loved the work I did, but I didn't like being on my own. I realized I needed to be around people. And running parallel to this, these 25 years, I was still doing my fitness. And it was only when one of the mums at the school said, could you start training me? You know, I'm not feeling great about myself. Will you start training me? Then I decided, you know, I'm just going to follow my passion. And so basically 4 or 5 years ago, I started doing fitness full time, Well, my idea of full-time, I did it around my family time, but I was working a lot of hours a week, and it was great. I realized it was just what I needed to be doing. So now we're at the stage where I'm now owning my own company. I call it Fit and Chips, and I call it Fit and Chips for a number of reasons. You know, it's funny. I think I'm funny. My son liked the name of it. It sort of plays on my British heritage, of course, the fish and chips. But the other reason was because I really think health and wellness is about balance. And, you know, I say you can have fitness with a healthy dose of chips, because you really need to live life and not have any restrictions. Now, I'm going along and I'm having a grand old time with all of my clients, and I'm writing, and I have created a fairly established career, and I've turned 40, 41, 42. And, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling actually the healthiest and the strongest I've ever felt in my life. I'm like, God, I'm kicking this aging business up the arse. I'm like rocking it. And then about 4 years ago, I was doing a weekly boxing class, sometimes twice a week. And I'm hitting the bag and I'm like loving it. And then I feel strange in a way that I actually really struggled to describe. Anyway, I go home, and later that evening, I'm sitting down and I realize I can't stand up. And I can't stand up because the room was spinning and I am physically wanting to vomit. And it felt like an attack of vertigo. It's exactly what it felt like. I actually crawled to bed that night and I just couldn't walk. Anyway, it really sucked. So then the vertigo sort of subsided, and then I got amazing fatigue. Like, I shouldn't really describe it as amazing. It was utter fatigue. My vision was impaired. I couldn't see properly. And then I was puking. I was being sick. And I just thought I had a virus, and I thought it would pass. And so, as most women do, I ignored this virus that I thought I had. I ignored the symptoms and I just carried on. But I continued to feel really unwell, and I got to the point where I really couldn't walk or function properly because my whole equilibrium had shifted. And anyway, I just went to the doctors. So here we are. I've got a brand new business. It's flourishing. I'm investing a lot of time and energy into it, and as well as investing a lot of time and energy into my family and my home life. And yeah, most of the time I'm feeling so discombobulated, I can barely make myself a cup of tea. And as you know, for a Brit not to be able to make a cup of tea, this was huge. So I go to my doctor, who refers me to a neurologist, who starts to do some work with me and tests with me. I have MRIs, I have balance testing. He sends me to an ear, nose and throat doctor, who actually induce vertigo into me to see how my brain works. I didn't know what they were looking for, but I just knew that I was getting all of these tests and nobody could tell me what was wrong. Everything was coming back as normal, which is good. I mean, I don't want anything to be wrong with me. But there had to be a reason why I'd gone from being this really vibrant, healthy person full of life to being somebody who could barely get through the day. And it was impacting every aspect of my life. So then I'm still in the same boat. I'm not getting any answers from anybody until I go to my routine gynecologist appointment. Now, my gynecologist has seen me for, I think it's ovarian cysts. I don't know. I think it's ovarian cysts. I have cysts. Lots of women have cysts. And it's just one of those things that we deal with. And I go and get an ultrasound done every year, and he reviews my results. And so I go to see my gynecologist. He tells me my results are fine, and he leaves the room, but he doesn't take his hand off the handle of the door. he stops and he pauses and he turns around and he looks at me and he must have seen something in my eyes. And I'm always one of these people that believes that the eyes tell, you know, the whole story. And he closed the door and he came back to me and he knelt down on the floor and he said, "Is everything okay? Do you want to tell me something?" And this guy's usually got 5 minutes for me tops, and he now was giving me his full attention, and I just burst into tears. And I started crying and crying and crying, and I couldn't stop. And that's not me. I'm stoic. You know, I'm British. I have a stiff upper lip, and I just needed, somebody actually wanted to listen to me, and somebody wanted to find out what was wrong. And I just said, you know, I don't feel good. I don't feel myself. I'd also realized I'd started suffering from depression. I didn't know it was depression. I just realized my quality of life was being impacted by whatever it was that was in my body that wasn't cooperating. So to cut a long story short, because this could be a long story, he said I was going through perimenopause. He actually asked me if I was having hot flashes, which made me laugh because I was like, come on, hot flashes? I'm too young for that. I'm too young for all of this. What are you talking about? And he said, okay, let's get some blood work done. So we did. We got the blood work back and he came back and he said, yep, you know what? You basically have got no estrogen in your body, really low estrogen. And you know what the side effects are of low estrogen? Depression. You can suffer from migraines with them. And you can, well, the list goes on and on. And basically, I was suffering from migraines with aura. I was having ocular migraines. And I was also entering a depression that is still with me to this day, as are the migraines. And even though I didn't want to have those two symptoms of perimenopause, I felt a sense of relief because now I knew the beast that I was dealing with. I knew, you know, what was taking over my life. I mean, I got to the stage where I was at home with my husband one day and we were watching a show on the TV, and I'd had one glass of gin. I don't drink anymore, and I, because of the migraines, and I had one gin, and I realized that this was having a huge impact on me. So I was watching this TV show, and maybe it was the alcohol, but I realized that I was desperately unhappy, and I started crying. And I then launched into a tirade with my husband where I told him all of the things that I hated about him. It was awful, really. I just couldn't stop. And I devastated him. And the next morning I woke up and I realized that everything that I said about him, all of the faults that I'd picked up on him, that he was stubborn, that he was a strict father, that he worked too hard, and that he didn't socialize enough, and all of these things were things I actually really admired about him. But I was clouded, my judgment was completely clouded, but I couldn't work out why I was so unhappy, because if it wasn't because of my marriage, which I believe to this day is strong, if it was, I mean, we're in a situation where we don't have debt, we own our house, I was doing the job of my dreams, my family is healthy, I've traveled the world, I'm in love with my husband, why was I so, so, so depressed? And this is where my gynecologist, I think, saved my life. I just am indebted to him because, one, he listened, two, he provided me with an answer, and then he did tests that proved that I was in perimenopause, and I did have depression, and I was suffering from migraines. And so then I could start attempting to make some changes in my life to try and feel better and to make my family happy again, because they were deeply impacted by my depression. They didn't want to see me like this. It was hurting them. So I reached out to lots of people in my community. I'd been doing fitness for a long time and I've made a lot of good friends and associates. And so I reached out to areas of fitness and wellness that I didn't have the answers to. So, you know, I don't profess to be an expert on this subject, but I've lived this and I've experienced this. And I understand now how much impact the menopause is having on women and how difficult it is to have a dialogue and to find information and to come up with strategies to help us feel better and live our lives to the full. And so I've decided that this is my role in life. It's just what I'm here for. So I'm speaking to people in the community and I realize that they don't really understand either. No, I'm guilty of this myself. I remember 3 years ago, I apologize, I spoke to one of my clients who said to me, "Amanda, this menopause is killing me. I can't cope." And I was like, "Oh, shoot, you'll be fine. Just plow through it, you know, no pain, no gain. And just get on with it. What's your excuse?" And I'm embarrassed about that now because I should have listened to her and I should have had more empathy and I should have found out information for her. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm researching and speaking to experts in the field of nutrition, fitness, well, that's me, of course, mental health, pelvic floor rehabilitation, excuse me, and I'm finding answers. And this is what I'm doing. So I've now developed strategies that have helped me. I'm sharing these strategies with other women. I have a Facebook group called Menopausing So Hard. And all of this information can be found on my website at fitandchips.com. Now, I reached out to this community of women because I asked how they were feeling through this. And again, they were looking for answers. And one of the answers to going through depression, to going through having migraines for me, was actually talking about my story and reaching out and finding like-minded people. So don't underestimate the power of your story. Look for a community that will help you. It could be my Facebook group. It could be other women in your fitness group. It could be your best friend. It could be your mother. Find people to talk to and don't stop talking. Ask questions. Get a team of medical experts that are going to help you through this and try and try and try things to make you feel better. For me, the answer was quite simply lifestyle changes and how I had to be very, very strict and sort of dial into what those changes were. Now, when I say I had to be strict about them, I mean I had to be strict to put them into categories. My life isn't strict. My life is actually very relaxed, but I had to find out what those different areas were. And to name a few, nutrition. I'd always eaten whatever I wanted to, but I've always had a healthy bend on my food. And so for that, that was quite simple for me. I noticed that when I ate well, most of the time, when I made good choices in my food, I felt better. It was that simple. And when I didn't, when I chose unhealthier options, high in sugar, that tends to be my downfall actually, rather than junk food, but high in sugar, it had an adverse effect on me. So I realized that most of the time I have to eat well. That's what I mean by dialing in to areas of your life. I'm also a nutrition coach, so I have a good background on nutrition. So, but for me, the overall picture was making better choices. Exercise. I've always worked out. I've told you my story, but I never really focused on the restoration or the recovery aspect of fitness. So I want to be strong and I want to be fit and I want to be healthy. It just is part of my identity. It's very important to me. But I realized there were some days where I just couldn't do anything. I was depleted to the point where getting out of bed was a journey for me that day. And so now I've come to truly appreciate what intelligent exercise looks like, how hard I have to work, and how well I have to recover. And then nutrition plays a good part in that too, because recovery and nutrition hand in hand make me feel better. Stress was one of the things that was catapulting my migraines out of the ballpark. I just realized that if I didn't sleep well, I became stressed. And I sleep a lot. I sleep 9 hours an evening. If I only get 6 to 7 hours, chances are I'm going to get a migraine. If my stress level is high, if I see that my kids are unhappy, one of my kids has Asperger's, and so it's quite challenging some days. If I didn't cope with those situations at home well and got my stress levels high, or an argument with my husband, if I didn't take the time to breathe, walk, meditate, whatever it took for me to de-stress, that would make my symptoms worse. If I didn't talk to my friends, if I didn't speak to people, that made things worse. One of the big things for me is I felt very alone and very lonely in my depression and with my menopause symptoms, because we truly believe nobody else will understand and that nobody else is experiencing what we're experiencing. I remember going for a coffee with a friend and crying, and she said, "I don't think I've ever seen you cry." And I was like, I think I need to. I don't know, but you know what? I felt so much better afterwards, and there's been a huge growth for me here. So, you know, the community side of things is, again, it all ties in. It ties in with my stress levels. And so creating an environment for you to thrive is one of the areas of that's going to be successful for you. So now you know my story. I came from a place where I was healthy and well. I'm knee deep in menopause now. I'm menopausing so hard. And I don't like it, but I accept it now. I've moved on from complaining, and I've moved forward to finding strategies that work for me, adopting them, and making sure I stay on track. And the days that I'm not on track, I have no judgment. I just accept that that's the way it is, because this is another phase in our lives, ladies, and we can get through this. We're resilient. We are resilient women. And I hope that this story helps you. I hope that you feel a connection, some type of link with me, because I want us to be in this together. I truly believe that the reason that I've been put on this earth is to get us through this space and to create awareness and be an advocate for us all, because I want other women to know what they're getting into. I want our husbands to understand us. I want our children to understand us. Our girls and boys are going to see their mothers going through this. They're going to grow up and they're going to see their partners going through this, and then maybe even their own children. So I think that having an open dialogue and talking to people about this is imperative. I'm actively speaking to male trainers in the gym, to female trainers in the gym who, like me, were invisible to all of this. Invisible, I should say. I was invisible. I felt invisible. No, but who are ignorant to this. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way. They just don't know. Like, if we don't talk about it, how can they know? Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope that this has been helpful, and I look forward to you tuning in next week. Thank you. Take care. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment, and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.